Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I am your host, Linda. I am broadcasting from beautiful, sunny, gorgeous blue sky, 80 degrees, Oceanside, California. Unbelievable. It's really nice. Welcome, Ron, Rod, and Bill. Thank you so much for the sound check. That's great. California's on fire right now, and I got about six different headlines here on this immigration problem, and I'm telling you, it's nuts. Wow. And I do want to just say that I welcome everybody and everyone that's listening who I can't see in the chat room. I know Yo's got family people, so she's not able to be with us right now. I have so many articles to read. It's unbelievable. But we are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamilies.com. That's with a Y-S. And again, you guys, I'm doing the 90 minutes today, and I just wanted to, this was really cool because it's going to hit home on a lot of levels. This reading of scripture is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The haughty looks of men shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, it shall be brought low. Against all the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, and against all the uplifted hills, against every high tower, and against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish and all the beautiful craft, against all the beautiful craft, and the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And I also just wanted to remind people, because this is what, after this particular piece was read in our church last Sunday, that some of these are metaphors for the lofty ideals of men and some of the idolatry that's been going on, and I'm sure you folks would probably agree. So I wanted to go to today's headline with the big picture, because this is all happening in Murrieta. It's big news. You're not going to believe what was told to us on the radio today. But, yeah, you probably will, because it's California, and we're dealing with the DHS, and we're dealing with Obama. So I think Bill's having trouble getting stuff on his computer, but we'll get him in here. Okay, this is the big headline. It says, migrants turned away. Buses carrying immigrant families returned to San Diego, downtown San Diego, after being blocked by protesters at Border Patrol Station in Murrieta. Huge signs. There was probably a couple hundred people down there. No new illegals, American flags, there was a whole bunch of stuff, and it says, protesters blocked passage of three buses. These were DHS buses, guys, carrying about 140 unauthorized immigrants. They're not immigrants, they're aliens, at the Border Patrol facility in Murrieta Tuesday. So, let's see, 140 approximate number of Central American migrants aboard Homeland Security buses. A plan to transport three busloads of Central American families through San Diego for processing at Murrieta Border Patrol Station took an unexpected turn Tuesday when scores of protesters blocked the buses from entering. And by the way, tonight there's another town hall meeting, and there's going to be scores of people there, because I've been hearing it on Roger Hedgecock all day, and I've been hearing about this stuff from early in the morning, even before Mike Slater's show. And here's what I heard. This is what I heard on this deal. They said that one of the reasons that the buses were turned away was not because of the protesters, but because of all the diseases that these people have. I'm going to read a whole article on that in a minute. This is, I mean, it's just No, it's Murrieta. It's kind of it's Riverside County. It's up it's northeast of San Diego County, and then it's a little bit east and south of Los Angeles County. So anyway, so we're all in this little areas together. But I mean, they have had reports of scabies, tuberculosis, head lice, and God knows what else. There's a whole so there's a theory that part of this is bio warfare. That's why these clowns are being bussed in here and flown in here. The demonstrators lined up outside the Border Patrol station in Murrieta, Riverside County City, about an hour north of San Diego, where the group of about 140 unauthorized immigrants, including parents and children, were to be processed. Yeah, this and the other thing I heard too was that after they got back to San Ysidro, there was another. Oh, you're gonna love this. The one of the DHS buses decided to take off for parts unknown on another route, going after they got them out of Murrieta and sent them down to San Ysidro, which is the border of San Diego proper and Mexico. And you're gonna love this. Oh yeah, it's beyond. Wait till you see, Ron, what I do in a minute on these articles. And guess what? These clowns at the Department of, and actually, it was the Border Patrol who did this. They told the media on a public highway that they could not follow these buses. Are you kidding me? What are we in 35 Germany? I mean, I was just livid. I thought, oh my God. So I want to go to some of this article, and then we'll go to the other ones that just you will blow your mind. Though escorted by local law enforcement authorities and the U.S. Border Patrol, the buses backed up, leaving people from both sides of the immigration debate on the roadside, wielding signs and shouting at each other. Oh, this is great. The clamor continued for hours after the buses turned around and headed back to San Diego. We responded for safety. Oh, boy. Man, they could spin this six ways to Sunday, said Lauren Mack, a spokeswoman for the U.S. Customs, that's ICE, in San Diego, explaining the agency's decision to turn back. We had to ensure that all of the individuals and the passengers on the buses remained safe. You know, this is what you get. So I'm going to go to this one. It's not real long, and this was sent to me by Lee Q, who has been speaking at all of these engagements, and she's really amazing. I first met her a few months ago when we were screaming at ICE's office, and boy, she spoke and she had the whole house in tears. Anyway, it says, illegal immigration, bio warfare. Over the weekend, I spent time. Now, this is from, you're going to love this. This is from Canada Free Press, by the way. I got this one today. Two rallies over the illegal immigration issue, but my reasoning as an opponent against the influx of illegal aliens into our country is not just because I believe that it is dangerous to our sovereignty as a nation to allow our border to be wide open. I am also concerned because of the health of our communities and the safety of those that believe they are coming to the promised land or to the United States as an invader. A month ago, my granddaughter was diagnosed with hand and foot disease. There is no specific treatment for the disease, so the little 3-year-old just had to suffer through the 4-day viral infection that is normally not a problem in our American society. The doctor, when my son took his daughter to a local urgent care, said that he was surprised not only of the appearance of the disease in Murrieta, California, but that the increase of cases had been sizable over the last few months. He did not know what the cause was. I knew exactly what the cause was when my son relayed this conversation with the doctor to me. In Murrieta, over the last few months, over 500 illegal aliens a week are being released into the general population. Many of these people are children without a medical screening. Last weekend, that number changed to 200 every 72 hours. They are being shipped in from other areas around the country, mostly Arizona and Texas, to our holding facility, where they do not have the room to house these people, much less give them a proper processing above checking to see if these invaders are known criminals. Murrieta Border Patrol agents are testing positive for tuberculosis, hand and foot disease, and Chagos, both previously eradicated from the area. Now they're on the rise. We are being hit by sickness, and we are told that as we are exposed to these infectious diseases, if we reject allowing these diseased people into our population, we are nothing more than a bunch of racists. other diseases to emerge, especially among Border Patrol agents, is H1N1, or swine flu, and chickenpox. It is anticipated that also coming are diseases like dengue, and Ebola virus. Oh, great. When one considers these incoming illegal aliens are from Central and South America, the Middle East, and West Africa, rather than ensure the illegal immigrants are properly cared for and the receiving population is protected from these diseases, the Obama administration is shipping these people in like cattle, leaving them on the side of the road for a political agenda. It is considered inhumane to drop a dog off on the side of the street and take off, but the federal government has no problem doing that to human beings. The safety and welfare of the illegal immigrants, or the receiving population, is not the Obama administration's concern. Only using these people as political pawns is important to them. According to a conversation I had with a local agent, the local facility is not capable of handling the numbers they are receiving. They have no beds for these people, nor the ability to allow them to bathe or to be fed. It takes 72 hours to process them, and then they are released into the population alone, diseased, and homeless. Federally, among the illegal aliens coming into this country is about 65,000 unaccompanied minors, and most of them are teenagers. While I believe the flood of incoming illegal immigrants is orchestrated, I also see it as a child abuse by the federal government against these poor children that are sick, alone, and frightened. These people are being specifically shipped into conservative areas in California, Texas, Arizona, and Oklahoma, a strategy I believe that is designed to change the complexion of the electorate, as well as influencing the ratio between Republicans and Democrats in the House of Representatives. You think? The illegals are being shipped in by bus and plane, and in Murrieta are literally being dropped off every few blocks. Meanwhile, the U.S. government is refusing to protect Americans from the dangerous diseases we are being exposed to. They refuse to repatriate these people back to their home countries. As far as we have been told, there is no system in place identifying, tracking, and overseeing issues around infectious disease outbreaks connected to illegal immigrants. Biological agents like viruses and bacteria may also be something that Muslim terrorist groups may use to wage war against the American population. ISIS, which is currently ripping through the Iraqi landscape, has already stated it is their goal to come into direct confrontation with the United States. The use of disease agents is not outside the realm of possibility, making securing the border more than just an illegal immigration issue. Securing the border, as required by Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, is also a national security issue. Either the government does not care, or they are lying to themselves and to us about the threat. I think third possibility, that this has all been designed to create a crisis, which the Democrats will then use as an opportunity to do as they please against what Congresswoman Pelosi has already said as much. So just thought I'd add that one in there. And that was probably one of the best articles I had seen in my group here. There's more. So if you guys want to call in and weigh on this stuff, because I've got a whole 90 minutes and I'm going to go ahead and look at this mess here. All right. The next one, this was back, let me see, Sunday, June 29th. Okay. Border surge. On the way north, you have, this is one of the kids that was on one of these buses, I guess, or planes. This kid from, he's 10 years old from El Salvador, waits in a migrant shelter in Mexico with his parents and sister to continue their journey north to the U.S. border. On the way, this is a quote from the child, on the way north you have the hope of living and the risk of death. Back home, death is certain. Border surge. Migrant children head to U.S. to flee crime fueled by the belief that they will be allowed to stay. Yes, they've been probably fleeing crime and a hellhole for a long time. They're just now championing this stuff and trotting it out. Of course, Piglosi's all, you know, oh, they're going to come here and see that this is a community. I got news for you, Piglosi. You're rich enough to pay for all of it yourself. Why don't you just open up your wallet, you miserable hypocrite? So the subtitle, Migrant Children Head to U.S. to Flee Crime. Okay, this is from Mexico. In the last day of school, Gladys Chinoy memorized her mother's phone number in New York City and boarded a bus to Guatemala's northern border. With nothing but the clothes on her back, the 14-year-old took a truck tire raft across the Naranjo River into Mexico and joined a group of five women and a dozen children waiting with one of the smugglers, who are paid $6,000 or up to $7,000 for each migrant they take to the United States. Now, who's coming up with this money? The women and children waited by the train tracks in this small town in the southern state of Chiapas until the shriek of a train whistle and the glare of headlights pierced the night. Suddenly, dozens of teens and mothers with young children flooded out of darkened homes and budget hotels, rushing to grab the safest places on the roof of the northbound freight train and join a deluge of children and mothers that is overwhelming the U.S. immigration system. Now, who's paying for these hotels, motels, and these $6,000 to $7,000 per immigrant or per migrant, whatever you are, illegal alien invading this country, for these people? These people are dead, broke, poor, poverty-stricken people. Now, that's my question. It's just unbelievable. There is no rule of law, absolutely. Okay. Of course, everybody's lashing out. The conservatives are going nuts. So here's the one. I don't want to read this whole thing. It's like really long. So I'm going to get into the next one. This was Friday, June 27th. After we had our, it was in Escondido, and I spoke about it last week, which was on Tuesday night. Then Friday they come out. The other neighboring town, I want to welcome Yola. She's in now, which is Encinitas, where my niece lives, and it's very close to Carlsbad, where my sister lives. It says, Encinitas has a spot available for immigrant children to live. We shut down one, and they opened up another one. I mean, it's just nuts here. An old Encinitas friend called to rib me for failing to tease out a rich thread from a political hairball. Well, reported is Escondido's resistance to a temporary shelter for kids who crossed the border illegally. The city's planning commission rejected location Tuesday night, a unanimous vote that prevented mass apoplexy among a swarm of people, many of them angry. Oh, you're going to love this. Listen to this. Many of them angry, white, and of a certain age. That would be me. Well, there was 500 of us. For the record, the business-hungry city had advertised several turnkey sites, including abandoned motels and a nursing home that could have housed lone Latino kids. Oh, boy. But given the electric anti-Washington current in Escondido, a federally funded shelter won't win approval unless a judge surgically removes immigration politics from land use. Yeah, well, I got news for you, Logan. The easy solution, my worldly friend said, is easily found outside Escondido. Well, sure, there's so much libtardness in the rest of the neighbors. Isn't it better, my friend suggested with a glint in his voice, to let a progressive bastion of North County open its arms to children? That would be Encinitas. In a stroke of coastal kismet, an abandoned school is available. Maxing out its credit card, Encinitas recently signed a purchase agreement for the shuttered Pacific View School, a 2-point-acre property that could serve as a temporary home for children awaiting court resolutions. Now, I want to know how many of these people who are supposed to show up for immigration court are going to actually show up. May I suggest zero? Seeing as how it will be a long time before an art center is built, leasing to the government for the short term would be a win-win. This is what I'm up against here, guys. The city makes money and shows real heart. Oh, you bleeding hearts. Encinitans have rallied to block new housing on the iconic property. Many celebrated the city's purchase for more exalted civic purpose than residences. Surely the majority of Encinitans would welcome the school's repurposing as a humanitarian refuge. Oh, now they're going to be called refugees. You just bet. Surely they'd relish seeing soccer balls flying around that playground. My head's going to explode about now. Surely many would volunteer to enrich the children's stay in this country. They're going to stay here forever, you dumb libtards. Okay, I'm going on. I emailed Tony Krantz, the liberal councilman who led the Pacific View acquisition, and asked him what he thought of the the plot turn. Quote, "That would be very interesting twist," Krantz agreed. "Thanks for passing the idea along." Krantz asked if I wanted credit if he brought the notion up for council discussion. Quote, "I'm intrigued you're intrigued," I wrote back. "You read it here first. At least one official is open to Encinitas opening its arm to border refugees." I can't take it. They, you know, they barely get the word refugee out of Washington, and these clowns here take hold of it. Going on, but here's my immodest prediction of what would happen if this modest proposal moved forward. Encinitas would throw its own style of tea party, more refined perhaps, less angry in a populist vein, but just as opposed to bunking foreign kids in its beating heart. When it comes to the backyard, Republicans and Democrats, Escondido and Encinitas, are likely not that far apart. Well, let's hope so, but I don't see it happening. So, then we have, it goes on. Let's see where we are. Oh, on a side note, minimum wage in California rises to $9 an hour. Aren't they special? So it says, you're going to love this. Some businesses worry about the increase. Oh, really? Okay, $9 California minimum hourly wage as of today. That was Tuesday, July 1st, which would be yesterday. Okay. Says some businesses worry about the increase. More than 200,000 low-wage workers in San Diego County will see a bump in their next paycheck. Okay, let's do the math here. 200,000 low-wage workers, that would be like, you know, McDonald's, some restaurant people, maids that work in the hotels. Do you know that there's like 3 million people in this county? I mean, it's like, I know it's only one-tenth of the population of, oh, and that's the same amount of immigrants or illegals that they report to have in California. I'll bet it's higher than that. Paycheck, as the state today raises the minimum wage from $8 to $9 an hour. The increase is the first of two approved by Governor Jerry Mussolini Brown in September, with the minimum wage next bumping up to $10 an hour in 2016. The state last increased its minimum from $7.50 to $8 in January of 2008, when California's unemployment rate was 5.9%, before skyrocketing to more than 12% because of the Great Recession. The Great Recession. Don't you love this? And I'll bet it was higher. I'll bet it was closer to 20%, you lying schmucks. Now that the economy has improved, yeah, it hasn't improved in my neighborhood. I just went to Walmart today, and the generic bleach was like $3 a gallon. I'm like, what are they putting in bleach? Gold? California joins 10 states plus the District of Columbia with scheduled minimum wage increases. Oh, of course they are. This first modest increase will help put more money in the pockets of hardworking Californians to provide food, clothing, and housing for their families, which will generate consumer spending for a much-needed boost to the economy. This is so absolutely absurd, I can't even... First of all, when you put the onerous of this increase all the time, every so often, and you just keep doing it to these business owners where their profit margin is, especially restaurateurs, they're going to lay these guys off. So there's not going to be any boost because they're not going to have any jobs or money except for their unemployment, which I'm sure Nancy Pelosi champions still. I mean, the whole thing is absolutely nuts. Oh, okay. Guys, call in and help me out with this stuff so I don't absolutely blow a gasket. Let me go back to the other points here because I wanted to see what else is going on with this mess. There was a whole bunch of stuff I didn't get to. Let me find them. I started them to Putin's. That one was, oh, yeah, that was the radical Islam. There was a couple others. Okay, so that was it on the emails and my headlines. So, again, this is what we've been up against. And what really bothered me was when I heard today about 8:30 in the morning on my radio that one of those buses that got turned out of Murrieta yesterday, and then they sent them down to San Ysidro, and all of these were white buses, and all they had was Department of Homeland Security written in blue ink, kind of like those UN things that you see. Yeah, that's what was going on there. And then one of them was leaving to go somewhere else, probably with all the sick kids, God knows where. And the Border Patrol had the complete cojones to tell the media that they are not allowed to follow the bus or tell anyone where it's going. I was livid. So just to get you guys going, it's 646-378-0321. Let's go through some of this stuff that I wanted to on Common Core, because we talked a little bit about this stuff. I'll go to the one of the data mining because it's pretty nuts. And here's a – we didn't get to do a lot because, you know, it was Ron's show or someone else's show, and I wanted to let them talk too. So this is – you're going to love this. U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan, one of the chief architects of the Obama administration's reform scheme, regularly boasts of collaboration with the U.N. and federal involvement in education. So they're, everybody's lying to you when platforms, thanks for reminding me, Ron, they had a city council meeting last Wednesday in my city, and they denied the building of a pot shop because the people had actually realized that the state of California, as libtardy as it is just as libtardy as Hawaii, New York, Portland, and, you know, Washington State. We already have marijuana medical laws. We've got, you know, all these lax regulations. People can smoke. Nobody's going to get busted if they have like less than an ounce or an ounce and a half. I don't know. It's as long as you're not going out dealing it. So anyway, here's the let's see if I can get some of this stuff. It's just amazing on the Common Core, though, because this is something else we have to deal with. here's the part that was really bizarre. It says how this happened, and you'll see some of the conclusions we draw. And this is one of the ones I had read on Ron's show. The U.S. Department of Education was created by an act of Congress and signed into law by President Jimmy Carter in 1979, and it has been gradually increasing in power since then, leaving centuries of history aside. The modern effort to nationalize education picked up steam in the 90s when a coalition of establishment-minded governors and corporate titans, make sure you remember that Bill Gates is not the only one, because good old Jeb Bush is in on this, came together to push the centralization agenda under the guise of improving standards. They love to lie to us, don't they? This is the one that was spoken to me, this Achieve Inc. It says 1996 Achieve Inc., which was cited by Dr. Sandra Stotsky at that one meeting. Hey, Doc, welcome. That was the beginning of this mess. That particular Achieve Inc. was born, giving a major boost to the plan and to longtime proponents of smashing state and local sovereignty in education, while centralizing control over schools at the federal level through a Byzantine public-private partnership labyrinth. Where have I heard that one? Oh, yes, United Nations Agenda 21 is a proponent, and so is the Earth Charter and regionalism of public-private partnerships. I think a couple years ago, Ron was talking about that when they were doing public-private partnerships for the police department. Was it in Utah or Colorado? Ron, you can remind me. The overarching agenda was summarized neatly in a 2008 column on education reform for the Wall Street Journal by former IBM CEO and current Achieve chairman, Emeritus Louis Gerstner, Jr., a prominent member of the prominent member of the Council on Foreign Relations and a Bilderberg Summit attendee. Imagine that. Gerstner co-chaired Achieve until 2002. They've had this going on for a long time, folks. When he formed the Teaching Commission with a list of prominent establishment figures. I'll bet. In the Wall Street Journal column, Gerstner offered what he described as a prescription for leadership from the Obama administration. Among the myriad recommendations, abolish all local school districts and establish a set of national standards for core curriculum. Also on the agenda were extending the school day and the school year. Oh, where did I hear that? Oh, yes, Obama was talking about that, pre-kinder, pre-mandated, you know, like Hitler Youth. In 2009, the Washington, D.C.-based National Governors Association, which was also talked about in that meeting that in Escondido a few weeks ago with Dr. Stotsky, and the Council of Chief State School Officers, both nonprofit orgs, despite official sounding names, quietly announced their intent to create new standards. Achieve Inc. and its cohorts were put in the driver's seat. After hiring supposed experts to design the scheme, the virtually unknown coalition quietly got to work drafting and pushing the agenda to nationalize education. I'm telling you guys. Okay, it says, forces behind Common Core. The critics claim that one of the primary agendas behind Common Core is not before seen social engineering should come as no surprise, considering the process and the forces behind the standards. Laboring in secret, faceless bureaucrats with little to no experience in relevant fields identify publicly only after a major public outcry, put together the scheme with funding from trade groups and massive tax-exempt foundations, probably like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, wouldn't you think? A four-show validation committee was set up through criticism from the committee's experts was largely ignored. The most high-profile foundation to bankroll Common Core and reportedly the biggest single source of funds was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a Rockefeller-allied organization with a dubious history of financing everything from population control and pro-abortion forces to various United Nations agencies and schemes. I'm so surprised. In 2010, the Gates Foundation even received the Population Award from the UN Population Fund, or UNFPA. Don't you love these great-sounding names? Which was exposed in Congress for facilitating the communist Chinese dictatorship's barbaric one-child policy and coerced abortions. Other UNFPA award winners included Planned Parenthood, also financed by Gates. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Speaking to the National Conference of State Legislators, billionaire Bill Gates, who made his fortune in computer software, explained one of the long-term goals of Common Core. Quote, "We'll know we've succeeded when the curriculum and the tests are aligned to these standards," end quote. In a nutshell, that is the end game, a national education system run from the shadows by unaccountable forces that will ultimately capture the minds of America's youth at an early age. In addition to the Gates Foundation, the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, also close to the United Nations and a big funder of sustainability causes, there you go, helped fund the development of Common Core as well. Another controversial nonprofit involved in Common Core is the Carnegie Corporation of New York. God, do you notice all these banksters' names in here? An establishment powerhouse that funds everything from, here we go, the Council on Foreign Relations to the Atlantic Council. Unsurprisingly, the Council on Foreign Relations itself has been a staunch proponent of the standards. Yeah, not surprised. Here we go. Federal carrots and sticks. Almost immediately following the public announcement on Common Core, the Obama administration and the federal leviathan it leads began the push to ensure compliance nationwide. Indeed, widespread acceptance of Common Core thus far has been almost exclusively attributed to the taxpayer largesse offered under various programs. One key element in getting states to comply, here we go, was the $50 billion with a B State Fiscal Stabilization Fund, part of the 2009 stimulus bill, which distributed funds to the state governments that agreed to adopt Common Core and create or improve systems to track students. In quote that says, see Orwellian nightmare, data mining your kids. That's next. Obama's controversial and unconstitutional $10 billion Race to the Top program was also crucial. Billions of federal dollars have been awarded to state governments from a fund for the scheme, which was also established with $4.5 billion under the 2009 so-called stimulus bill. With federal aid, of course, comes federal control. And to be eligible for the massive grants, state governments were forced to adopt Common Core or other internationally benchmarked standards, which, according to Dr. Stotsky, were not benchmarked at all. while creating data systems to track students. Wait till you hear this part. Some $350 million was set aside to help fund common assessments for states that adopt common international standards. The Department of Education announced, referring to the national testing regime, set to be rolled out as early as next year. Unveiled at a 2009 event at U.S. Department of Education headquarters was an array of other federal grants worth billions of dollars, much of it from the stimulus bill aimed at usurping control over education and America's youth from families and from communities. Among the programs outlined in a Department of Education press release, a $650 million Investing in Innovation Fund and a $297 million Teacher Incentive Fund, oh boy, and more. Another $3.5 billion in school improvement grants was earmarked for states to support efforts to reform struggling schools. I think I'm going to have an air sick bag here real quick. Another key element in getting state governments to agree to the national standards was the issuances of waivers from the Bush era No Child Left Behind scheme. Without authority from Congress, the Department of Education announced in 2011 that it would grant waivers from the No Child Left Behind to state governments in exchange for obedience to various federal decrees and the adoption of Common Core or other standards approved by the administration. Acceptance of Common Core aligned testing was also required. More than a few members of Congress and state officials feigned outrage by the waiver in exchange for obedience to Obama's scheme, but the administration went forward anyway. Local school districts are in the administration's crosshairs as well. In May of 2012, the U.S. Department of Education began offering huge taxpayer-funded incentives to school districts that adopted the controversial scheme. This district-level program is a full-scale assault on state sovereignty, explains the group Truth in American Education, which opposes Common Core plan. It's a power grab through which federal government will skirt citizens' elected statewide bodies and negotiate directly with the school districts to embrace federal policy. It will also undermine the state government's governmental structure by grouping school districts together on policy decisions and thereby making it more difficult for the group to disengage from federal programming. Oh, of course, they leave no T not crossed, do they? It says, skirting the law and the people. Proponents of Common Core continue to downplay concerns about the controversial scheme by incessantly parroting two primary lines. The standards are state-led and voluntary. Oh, doesn't sound like that to me. Because multiple federal laws specifically prohibit any federal direction, control, or supervision of curricula, programs of instruction and instructional material in elementary or secondary schools, the whole scheme would be unlawful, not to mention unconstitutional, if the standards were not, in fact, state-led and voluntary. See how they play us? However, the idea that Common Core is being driven by state governments is easily shown to be bogus. Neither legislators nor elected officials played any significant role in developing the scheme. And in fact, states had to agree to the standards in 2009 before the standards were even published to be eligible for federal bribes. Instead, as even establishment analysts have admitted, Common Core is a set of national standards pushed by the federal government and created by consultants funded by unaccountable billionaires. Here we go with Dr. Stotsky. She's a good lady. Dr. Sandra Stotsky explained that when the state signed on to Common Core standards, they did not realize that they were transferring control of the school curriculum to the federal government. Even if it were truly a state-led initiative, however, critics say it would still be a bad idea, as parents and local school districts continue to lose control over education. Okay, let's see what we have here. I want to go to the next part of this, and then you guys can call in so you can weigh in on what's going on in your neighborhoods. Some of this stuff is just, it's just unbelievable. Oh, let me get to this one. Orwellian Nightmare, Data Mining Your Kids. And they have several, I just want to go through this. They have posture analysis chairs. I'll get to the descriptions. They have wireless skin conductance sensors around the kids' wrists. They have facial expression cameras. They also have iris scanning going on. They also have pressure mouse that the kids use for their stuff, and it says all of the devices shown here are already in use as part of the federally funded tutoring service to monitor the physiological reactions of students in response to classwork, and were shown in a Department of Education report. Hey, FT, welcome. Bill says, within 9 years, the government will be getting 605 of your earnings, or 60%. Was that just the Fed state? Yeah, 40% you have left. Yeah, it's worse. Doc says they are able to hide the truth. Well, yeah, nobody's talking about it, Doc, on any of these subjects. It's just horrible. See if I can find the worst part. Oh, yeah. Talk about the UN with the rights of the child. This is pretty crazy. It says, efforts to portray the data gathering via Common Core-aligned testing as a state-led plot notwithstanding, the Obama administration is reportedly considering raising phone taxes by executive decree to help subsidize the necessary technology to data mine your children. Why federal tax increases would be needed to pay for education and data mining schemes that the federal government is supposedly not involved in has not been explained by officials, but experts and analysts say the reason is obvious. Implementing intrusions. Already there are numerous systems being used and deployed across America aimed at compiling unprecedented amounts of data on students. Some are run by private organizations with government assistance. Others are operated by authorities directly. All of them are extremely controversial. However, with parents and privacy advocates outraged. Among the data schemes that have received a great deal of attention in recent months is InBloom. It's in quotes. It's InBloom. It sounds so communistic already. As with the new national education standards called Common Core, it is also funded by Bill Gates and the Carnegie Corporation, with at least 9 states participating in the $100 million program already. The nonprofit entity, which shares data with whomever authorities choose, is quickly gobbling up vast quantities of information. Respected experts such as attorney Michael Ferris, president of Parental Rights Org, pointed out that the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child Committee has repeatedly pressured governments to create similar national databases on children, albeit using different pretexts. Even liberals have expressed opposition. Quote, turning massive amounts of personal data about public school students to a private corporation without any public input is profoundly disturbing and irresponsible. Do you think maybe it violates the Fourth Amendment somewhere along the line? This was said the New York Civil Liberties Union Executive Director, Donald Lieberman, slamming authorities for failing to disclose the scheme or offer parents an opt-out. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. In conjunction with InBloom, other systems are being funded and largely directed by the federal government itself, using the same unconstitutional process as the one used to foist Common Core on state governments, a combination of federal bribes, waivers, and more. The Obama administration all but forced cash-strapped states to start monitoring and tracking student information or to expand their existing systems. Previous administrations and the U.S. lawmakers also contributed to the problem, with the foundations having been laid decades ago. Before Obama, the Bush-era No Child Left Behind Act, for instance, among myriad of other demands, called on states seeking federal funds to create unique statewide identifiers for each student. Under Obama, the process has accelerated at an unprecedented rate. Another surprise. The stimulus-funded Race to the Top, a so-called school improvement scheme demanded by Obama, only distributed taxpayer funds to states that agreed to build and expand data systems, with the Secretary of Education specifically requesting interoperable databases to facilitate the collection and transfer of data. I have a feeling that big data collecting grid in Utah has got a lot of this stuff. Massive bribes to states from the $50 billion state fiscal stabilization fund conditioned on acceptance of Common Core and expanded data tracking, also part of the stimulus package, were critical in advancing the plot as well. My God, boasting about the stimulus-funded coercion of state governments on data regimes, during a speech to, here we go, you're going to love this one, guys, UNESCO, the deeply controversial UN Education Agency, Education Secretary Arne Duncan lauded the program. Well, of course he would. He's a commie. More robust data systems and a new generation of assessments can assist teachers and principals to improve their practices and tailor their instruction in ways that were largely unthinkable in the past. Duncan continued, yeah, he's such a schmuck. I'm quoting from this guy. We have advanced data systems that were constantly improving. Duncan wants other governments and the United Nations to follow the Obama administration's lead on data gathering. Well, of course, the administration helped pay for expanding state systems with an eye toward integrating them. Some $315 million in federal grants, for example, were used to bribe state governments and help them comply. However, the specific grant scheme known as Statewide Longitudinal Data Systems Program actually began handing out taxpayer money in 2005. As of 2009, the latest year for which figures are available on the Department of Education's website, 41 states and Washington, D.C. had been awarded federal statewide the SLDS grants to expand their data systems on students. Experts say all 50 states now maintain or are capable of maintaining huge databases on the vast majority of American children. According to the Department of Education, the goal of the SLDS grants is to have states expand their data systems to track students' achievement from preschool through college. Let's do that one again. Expand their data systems to track students' achievement from preschool through college. The Education Department's National Center for Education Statistics offers slightly more detail about the SLDS scheme online. Quote, through grants and a growing range of services and resources, the program has helped propel the successful design, development, implementation, and expansion of K-12 pre through 20W, early learning through workforce. Pre-kinder through 20, the workforce, so 20 years old. So you're like, what, three? Oh, my God. Longitudinal data systems, it explains these systems are intended to enhance the ability of states to efficiently and accurately manage, analyze, and use education data, including individual student records. So it says cradle-to-career data collection. So you get the idea. This is really horrible. So, again, I have 42 minutes left. I'd love to hear from you guys on all the subjects we've talked about, 646-378-0321. I'm going to type that in there, 646-378-0321. Okay, so again, phone lines are open, and I welcome all callers. It was really cool to hear from Robert yesterday. I wish he was around today. And then the other guy was talking about the corporate individual or versus the sovereign individual with the capitalization on your birth certificate. I kind of wish Ron was there. It was cool. Oh, we lost Ron. Dang. Bill, you got to call in. FT, Doc, call in. I got 45 minutes left, so... Let me go. I've read about all I can on this stuff, although some of these things are pretty disgusting on the Common Core. Oh, Rod says, what's the problem? Work for Russia and China. Well, we're hoping not to mimic the communist stuff going on there. If anyone thinks that Russia and China are not communistic, they're dreaming. Again, Bill, please call in. I've got 41 minutes left. Unless we cut it short. So they wanted me to do 90 minutes. Now I give them 90 minutes. I'm kind of running out of stuff to talk about unless I keep reading, and I really didn't want to go through the whole thing. Again, some of this stuff I can bring with me to Delaney so that we can get it all together and we can see these things. You guys, you know, if you're really, really bored and you want to read on the way to the icebox to get another beer, then you got it. So, again, we are at 646-378-0321. Give me a call, and we can talk about everything that I've said today because there's so much here. We've got illegal immigrants. We've got DHS buses. We've got the Border Patrol telling the press that they cannot, on a public highway, follow a bus and report it to the people. I mean, I was horrified. I was like, oh, wait till I tell my people this one. They actually had several speakers today. The other thing I heard, which was quite interesting, was that Hillary Rodham Clinton's book is tanking, which is kind of fun. And the one that's like soaring on the bestseller list is called Blood Feud. And I think his name's Ed Klein. And he's been on many stations and TVs and different radio shows. And it's really hysterical. He talks about what's going on behind closed doors, of course, there. And it's really interesting. So if anyone has any take on this stuff, and I'm going to go ahead and pick up Bill. I think that's who I have here. Let's see if I can make it work. It will work. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Linda. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Oh, that's about the best we can do. You're hitting on a lot of the things, and everything goes right back to Agenda 21. And
yes,
the,
it does.
Their agenda for all of us was total control.
Yeah.
The Common Core. I have a problem when I realize that Common Core was put together by a person sitting in prison, the same as the health care bill was put together by another person who was sitting in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the kinds of people our government looks to as setting examples of and setting policies.
Yes, this is what's going on. And you should see these devices. I didn't even get into the details, but the stuff that they were talking about, well, let me get to this one little place here. It talks about the Orwellian, the data mining, and it talks about the other aspect, implementing Carnegie, UNESCO. It's called, they had the other one. I've heard about this before I read this. It was called Department of Education scheme known as EDFACS, E-D-FACS, Education Facts. And it's a U.S. Department of Education initiative to collect, analyze, report on, and promote the use of high-quality kindergarten through grade 12 performance data. And this does not eliminate the possibility of them, especially with the ACA, which, you know, how that's going to be intrusive. And when these people are in these Medicare programs or the ACA program, Covered California, all this state stuff, they're going to be requiring, you know, all the intrusions on privacy. And you know what's coming next, especially with Common Core. They're going to be asking these. They're going to brainwash them about gun violence. They're going to brainwash them on the Agenda 21 nonsense and the climate change. And then they're going to try to get information out of these kids about who's got guns in the house and who's taking Valium. I'm telling you, that's coming. It's coming as sure as I'm sitting here, Bill.
Well, you've
right?
already seen Michelle Obama out there telling kids it's okay to tell on your parents.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just what Hitler did, where we consistently see that these people have no regard for the law as it's written. They have an ideology, and that's how it is. There's no way, two ways about it. Obama, him coming out there and saying, well, he can't get nothing done. No, you can't get your way is your problem, sir. You can't get your way. So you're going to throw a little children's tantrum, and you're going to threaten us with going around the Constitution, ignoring the laws as they're written, and doing whatever on your own.
Well,
when
see,
you do that,
well,
when he does
here's,
that,
right? I know. Here's what he's doing. What he's doing, Bill. He's lying to the people, and he knows that his audience are stupid, because the audience, by and large, whether it's on Fox or it doesn't matter where they are, or they can be on PMS, LSD, it doesn't matter which one they're on, they have no idea. And even these talking head nonsense freakazoids from both sides of the aisle on these news stations do not understand that it's intentional to have gridlock. The founders wanted us to have gridlock. They didn't want it to be easy for one or the other branches to just railroad over the other ones. It's by design, Barry. And you can take your ideology and stuff it. So that's where that's at. I'm telling you, thanks, Rod. Be blessed.
We've always said, we've known that if they feel like they're going to lose the power, the current group is going to lose their power, they will stop at nothing.
Oh, I know.
To force them to get through, because they know they can't start over.
Yeah, well,
they just
you know,
they haven't got another 50 to 75 years to do anything.
Exactly. It's just, it's crazy. You know, they're talking more stuff on the gun grabbing and the gun control and all these things, especially here in California. I'm fighting this stuff daily because, you know, Jerry's getting ready to sign all these horrible things, and they're talking about, you know, banning the ammo again and regulating who can buy it. And I mean, it's just they've gotten struck down on this more times than not. But we have to keep fighting them, and we have to keep sending letters. And it's like, you know,
they're going to keep that up, Linda, because
disarming
the American public is one of the major pillars of their global agenda. And they have to disarm us before they can hand us over. Destroying the culture, they pretty much are doing that right now. While we're watching all the illegals coming in under and the immigration battle, what we're not seeing is how many Muslims are coming in under asylum.
Right.
What we're not seeing, and what we are seeing, is a constant attack off our very culture, our very ways of life, by this administration, who doesn't like our culture, doesn't like our ways of life, and thinks we should all live according to what they say.
Exactly.
You ever notice the left is big about attacking the wealthy? But you never hear the left attack the Rothschilds, do you?
Oh, no. No.
No, they never mention them. They never mention the Rothschilds. They never mention Maurice Strong. They never bring up George Soros, who was the big financial backer behind the left.
Yep. No, they won't. They don't talk about they don't talk about Warren Buffett either.
Poor Gates and his agenda for the population and
Common Core.
It's totally a conflict of interest when he goes out here and starts talking about vaccinations at the same time he's pushing for world depopulation. And if people don't see that conflict of interest there, well, they're just blind.
Well, they're not educated at all. They're not informed whatsoever, and this is a problem. And you know, we know that that's what's going on. So, you know, when they're coming after the gun grabbing and they want to banish rifles and they want to do this, that, and the other thing, whether it's an AR-15 or an AK-47, there's already so many laws on the books already that are probably still yet unconstitutional, in my estimation and yours, you know, because none of this is about hunting, you know that. None of this is about, just personal self-defense alone. This is about keeping your government at bay. And I was thinking today in the car. Go ahead.
You have a government that wants total control. They not only want to control what you eat, your energy use, and all this. They want to control who you talk to, who you can associate with.
Right.
They want to control that.
They were trying to down here in San Ysidro. They were telling the press they couldn't follow a bus. Are you kidding me? I swear to God, I think I'd have called up every biker I could get my hands on and follow that bus. Oh, my gosh.
Right there should tell you they planned something totally nefarious whatever.
Yeah.
They plan on going to some other town and dumping them, and they don't want you to know where they're dumping them.
Exactly. Well, that's just, you know what, and that was the Border Patrol that did that. They're all in cahoots. You've got ICE, you've got the Border Patrol, you've got the local authorities, you've got the DHS involved. These guys are all working together. This is insanity. And then
There you go.
Go ahead.
Rob mentioned a while ago the $2 billion extra dollars they're going to need right off the bat here. They just went down and paid several hundred millions of dollars to countries that were sending their kids here. I think that was just a payoff. I think it's our government that is behind. They're the ones paying the drug cartels and stuff to smuggle these people in. And if you notice, Mexico has no problem letting people enter our country illegally.
I know,
even
it's crazy.
Foreign, they have no problem. We should cut off all remittances to Mexico. There should be not a penny flown out of our country to Mexico. We're paying to take care of their people. They're sending their drug problems and their drug cartels here, and the money's going right back into the people down there in the corrupt government. The billions of dollars that was meant to put up a border fence, you ever wonder what happened to that money?
Yeah, Where'd that go?
That money was handed out through Homeland Security as bonuses.
Oh my God! Yeah, you know, and guess who was president at the time for that little mess? Good old panty waist Bush, because he was the one that promised that fence, and you know that never got anywhere.
Well, Bush promised the fence, but it was Janet Napolitano who handed out the bonuses.
Jeez, it's disgusting. Well, as far as them trying to grab our guns, I have news for these people. The people like Frank and Feinstein and Upchuck Schumer and Bloomberg and Barry and all the rest of these guys, there's someday, if they keep pushing it, Bill, those long-hand barreled shotguns are going to find themselves in a place where they will do the most good. That's what's going to happen.
I think they're going to find out when they start trying to take away guns that guns are going to be the least of their worries. It's a very ingenuity populace out there in this country. And if you look around on the Internet, you'll see people inventing stuff in their homes and their garages.
Well, it's not just – the whole idea is that the people who actually have the arms, and we have many of them, Bill, we have a lot of people who have been stockpiling. I would imagine that the 305 million guns that are reported to be out there somewhere might not even scratch the surface. So all you have to do is just stand your ground someday, and you know, that's why the Japanese refused to come on our grounds, because they knew, you know, back then, before they had their little drones and their in cahoots with us and the UN, yeah, they would have been slaughtered, and they knew it, just with long guns alone. Because we're that heavily armed, they can just, you know, and the only thing, you know, I mean, I know you've got a lot of stuff up your sleeve, and I'm very happy about that, but we just need some really good delivery systems, too. You know, but...
You know, I live in an area where we can deliver a pumpkin to you from 4 miles away with compressed air.
Well, I'm thinking longer range than that. I'm talking, you know, straight up.
Well, that's just saying, we're playing around with pumpkins. I shudder to think what some of these other people have invented on their own that nobody even knows
right.
They got.
That's true.
The thing is, we have a government that's willing to bring in the UN to assist them in disarming us. Don't be surprised if they don't start handing out weaponry to the Muslims they brought in and the illegals. That we've got a government that's arming every three-letter organization they've got, from the EPA to the IRS, and explanations of why these people need these kinds of weaponry that they're getting.
Yeah, the other part that I read earlier about these diseases that are coming in, I mean, we're talking about scabies, we're talking about horrible stuff that you know, Ebola, what in the hell? I mean,
dengue fever, you're seeing an uptick of polio again. See,
tuberculosis.
That's why we have immigration laws and stuff that are supposed to be followed,
right,
so that we can check these people before they come into the country and treat them or whatever.
But that's
the
not
way
happening.
Going on, that's not happening. It's been going on for years. I was out today, this morning, ringing my bell. You know why I'm ringing my bell? Because I'm shouting at the same time. The invasion is coming. The invasion is coming.
Right. Yep, that's true, and it's just sad. I mean, Joe Arpaio's ready to just, you know, take up arms against this nonsense, and I don't blame him. And there's people in my community who are too. They were on the radio about a couple hours ago when I was listening before the show, and they are serious about going to the town hall meeting tonight. They've been to all the other meetings. They are sick of it. They're sick of losing our sovereign nation. They're just done. They've had it. They've had it with this outlaw government we have. It's BS. They lie to you. They try to suppress the press. I mean, this is sad. This is a sad day in America. Really sad.
It's pretty sad when people sit around talking and you find out that Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, is more popular than the leader of the United States. Now, that says a lot.
I think that's because of all the heterosexual women who like Putin because he's straight and, you know, they know the other one's not. Well, anyway.
A lot of it is Putin's the leader of the world that stood up and said we need to do something about the Christian persecution and slaughter going on around
the
globe.
That's true.
Putin has, Putin has stood up against the things that Obama's catered to, that our country doesn't, you know, Trump is more of a world leader than Obama, that is for sure.
But he's still,
you
got to...
We have an elected, that a self-serving elected, that would sell out the public to pad their own pocket. And I'm talking on both sides of the aisle.
The
Chamber of Commerce. Many of the leaders of the Chambers of Commerce are investors, and they have used their positions to inside invest and inside trading, and they are invested in businesses and housing that cater to illegals. And that goes across the aisle. These people that are elected in this country would rather pad their own pocket. They would sell their American brothers and sisters and their own families out to pad their pocket.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty nuts. Look, all these people, the people that are in D.C., like I said, the small handful, they apparently they feel like their hands are tied or they're just spouting out of their mouths. I don't know. But the others are actually in on this mess, and Doc was right about the Cloward and Pippin strategy, and he's put a link up there, which I can't go to because it'll kick me out of my page here that I want to be on. But it's just horrible what's happening, and, you know, like I said, what we have gone through just in the last few days, there are so many people, and nobody's given the truth, right? So there's several people in... Yeah, there's several people in my area who are truth seekers, and I know Glenn Beck tries, but then there's Mike Slater, there's Roger Hedgecock, there's several others here who try to get to the truth and speak it. And even some of the local media, I mean, they were just appalled, and there were several people calling in talking about this nonsense in Murrieta and San Ysidro and all over the country, because they're dropping them off God knows where. How long, you know, 72 hours, then what do they do with them? The whole thing is nuts. It's evil, and it's unconstitutional. Derelict Holder and Barry Obama should be in orange jumpsuits right now. The whole damn lot of them. I can't take it anymore. This is an oligarchy. We don't have – we're not represented. We're screwed. Completely.
Let me give you where I'm coming from here. In 2005, I stood up to start fight against this amnesty push.
Right.
And it was the Republican Party, the establishment, the George Bushes, the John McCain, Lindsey Graham.
I know.
McConnell. These were the people we were fighting besides fighting Harry Reid and Ted Kennedy.
And Chuck
and
Schumer,
all that
folk
on the left. And here
God.
Now it's the other party in charge trying to do the same exact thing.
One side wants the
money they can make off of using illegal labor or housing them and charging them extras there, and the other side wants the power of the vote. Either way, both sides are willing to screw the American people to get their own way.
Sure. Well, it's like I said, it's not a representative republic, and it hasn't been for way too long. I just wanted to ask you how many folks are sitting around you today.
I've just got a few here today. There's a few outside. But we're gathering force here. We're all hyped up about Delaney.
Oh, my God, me too.
I don't
Absolutely.
Know exactly what we're going to do. Haven't found the musicians that I thought I would, but that don't matter. I've still got a PA system, and we got cassettes or CDs out of our rear end.
Yeah, well, I'll bring some, too. So is Chad there?
No, at the moment he's not.
Oh,
but
okay.
We got a mic, and I'm hoping that you get up and some others, and I'm going to get up, and we're going to do some talking. And we're going to answer people that's got questions around our area. We're going to answer them.
Oh, honey, I could do 20 minutes on Agenda 21 without even batting an eyelash. I know Yola's excited. Okay, I'll do it. I'll bring my stuff. You're going to love my charts and everything. But I'll bring everything I can. I know Leah's excited for all this stuff. I've got a pile of stuff here that I'm bringing. I've got to gather some more together. Some of this stuff I can let you guys look at and then bring it back to myself, and then we'll figure out how to get some more to you because the information's there. And if I can remember, I'll get on to the to Delaney Creek, and I'll call the guy maybe tomorrow and remind them, please take away the bed bugs out of those bunk things where we're in our little cabins, because I don't want to have to go through that again. My lungs won't take all that. Because, you know,
I'll bring some bug repellent, but a couple of drops on the back of your neck, and you won't have to worry about anything touching you.
Okay, but I'm worried more about the stuff that, what happened was they got into my suitcases, and then when I brought it home, I had to debug my whole bedroom. So, yeah, it was a mess. So, it was the little bed bug. So, if I can remember, I'll give him a call and say, just spray the whole thing, because I don't want to have to bring the spray with me and, you know, sleep outside. I mean,
I agree with you. They should be spraying the cabin.
Yeah. So I'll try to remember and just say, you know, we love the place, but I don't want to have to go through. Because I think I had like a can and a half, and I was spraying my bed, and then I was inhaling it, and I almost passed out. I was just, because, you know, it not only kills the bugs, it'll kill people too if you get enough of it. So, oh, my Lord. But anyway, so I like I said, I am so excited. I just can't. I got a few things for toiletries today from Walmart, and tomorrow I'm going to get another outfit and a pair of tennis shoes and get starting packing and figuring out and make sure I got my list with my CDs and stuff. It's going to be amazing. I can hardly wait for the food. Yola's going to bring great food, and when I get there, I think it's going to be Saturday, because that was the only time I could get a decent flight. And then I'll pick up some wine, and we'll get the stuff for if we want the good garlic bread again. I'll try to do that. That would be fun. That would be.
Well, it's like us. We can't get in our cabin till on, I think it is on Monday.
Oh.
So we're going to be a night out from everybody. We will be there that day and later but we don't get our cabin till on the Monday. I don't know about the other people. I know I've had several groups here and they've got groups that are bringing tents. James is bringing his RV, and others are talking about pulling a camper over there and stuff. So I don't know how many we're going to really have show up. And some will be there on some days and not others. But I expect at least a twice the size crowd we had last year.
Awesome.
And there's a lot more people waking up because there's so much stuff coming out now. And
yeah.
We knew they wasn't going to be able to keep everything hid forever.
Well, see, here's the thing. I mean, look, they're throwing it at us faster than, what do you call them, those automatic tennis ball things or whatever. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they're doing to us. And the thing is, you know, I'm more concerned about where everybody's going to be when this thing collapses, because now that they're doing the Cloward and Piven and they've got more of these people who are diseased and they're going to be on every damn welfare roll dole that they can get on, it's just disgusting. And they're dumping them, especially in the upper border states like Arizona, Texas, Nevada, California, and wherever else. And then they're shipping them all over the place saying, oh, I have relatives here. The whole thing is just crap. You know, it's just one big lie upon the other, and I'm tired of it. And that Barry needs to go.
There's one of the things no one mentions. All these illegals that are here, what they really want is to give them something so that they can then invoke family reunification. And you just take the 10 million that's here. If each one of them brought just 10 family members,
I know.
100 million. And then that 100
million
brings family members. Now look where you're at. You are no longer the United States. You are a third world Hispanic nation.
Right. And here's, you know, I mean, we know that the numbers are high. We know what's going on. It's just they lie to us, Bill. I mean, you know, it's worse than they say. We don't want it anymore. They're violating everything. It's crazy. Welcome, Cal. We've got a few minutes left, so I mean, it's pretty crazy what's happening, and they are going to overwhelm the system, and then it's going to get worse. People are, you know, the people that are in the wagon are going to outnumber the ones pulling it hugely, and the people pulling it are going to make the wagon stop and say, screw you, I'm done. And then that's when the anarchy hits. That's when that's part of the meltdown. And I, you know what I'm saying? I really think that's what's going to happen. And financially and every other way. They don't care, Bill. It's got to come to a head. And what's really interesting is, go ahead.
Did you hear the latest on disability? Now
no.
These illegals are getting a head start on disability because they're saying because they don't speak English, that's a disability.
Oh, I know. I think I heard that nonsense. Well, you know, it, like I said,
paying that bill.
It's like I'm ready to hear the music. No. I'm in the Twilight Zone. I can't even. It's nuts. Okay. All right. Yo, God bless. Thanks. Yo, hang in there. We're going to see you in a few days. I'm excited about that. So, yeah, look, like I said, they're collapsing the system. It's not going to be pretty, but this is what we have. We have liars. We don't have a constitution anymore. These people are just usurping it. Just they're shredding it. They've been doing it since Lincoln. Lincoln was the first. Believe me. Believe. Because he did it. And everything that Ron has talked about. And you know what's funny? When we talk about the collapse, Mikey B. and CH, our constitution now, Ron, they can hardly wait for it to happen because then it's all going to get exposed. And it will. It absolutely will. Then we can rebuild it, dude. Let's just, hopefully it won't happen for quite a while. So, because I need to organize more, let me tell you. Huge. A lot of stuff to do. To prepare. Well, I need to prepare.
We've all got a large job in trying to wake up the younger generation to what they're going to be facing, to what this administration and all its cronies are setting them up for.
Right. But it's even worse than that. I've got every age group from 3 years old to 93 who don't get it, Bill. Especially here in California. I'm not kidding. And I agree with you on the youth because they're the best ones because they can be kind of told, you know, hey, check this out. And some of these kids, especially if they're 18, 19, 17 years old, they want to know the truth. They don't believe these guys anymore. You know what I'm saying? You got some
you're seeing that show up in the polls where the millennials are turning on Obama.
Sure. Oh, good. It's about time. Think it's about time?
It's about time.
Yeah, I mean,
they're also starting to see through these indoctrinating teachers and professors who are feeding them full of crap.
Yeah, and so here's the deal. We're going to do our thing. We're going to do Indiana, and we're going to speak in front of the folks. We're going to hand out stuff that we have, and then we're going to go forward. And every single one of those people who maybe we light a spark under, they're going to do the same thing, Bill. And then it's like Amway. They're going to get two people, and you know what I mean? It's going to keep going. So that's what we have to do. That's all we can do right now. Because you certainly can't expect Washington to do anything or even your own state government. If it's not – look, the whole idea of the Constitution and the sovereignty of an individual and a state was it is we the people. That the founders said that any decision, whether it's – you know, whether it's going to be, does this meet the constitutional criteria? Guess who the final arbiters of all this stuff? It's you and me. Nobody else. Not the Supreme Court, not the executive, none of it. It's you and me. We the people are the ones who get to say what's constitutional and what isn't. That you better hang on to that and tell people this stuff.
That's what we got.
Yeah.
And, I've told a lot of people, hey, I don't know how long I got left, but I'm going to stay in this fight till the end.
Yep.
But some of you are going to have to start stepping up and taking over. You're going to have to start speaking out on your own and quit relying on other people to do the talking for you.
Oh, yeah. You got to start thinking for yourself.
Yeah, you need to do your own research.
I tell them on Facebook every day. I tell them. I give them the links too, Bill. I say, would you please look it up for yourself and especially the libtards, because I don't have much patience with them, you know, because they don't want to be educated. I don't care.
Even when you prove them wrong and present the facts, that progressives are still going to turn around and still continue to push the same lie. And we see that all the time. The lie that Obama has deported more people than anyone. That's a bald-faced lie that's been proven.
I know. I'm going to answer Kel's question. She had a question. Are the states accepting these illegals that the feds are shipping? Yes, they are, especially the libtard states of California. I just read, you missed the first part of this program, but there was an article right in my paper right after all this nonsense that was going on in Escondido that I fought against last week and helped. I was one of the 500 people there and one of the 100 speakers, and they took we put the kibosh on that one, but the other neighborhood in Encinitas, which is libtardy, and they said, oh, well, we got a place for them. You know, we'll do it here. You can't win. You know, you cannot win in a state that's this blue. This is a very communist state. So it's real hard. I mean, I monitor this stuff every day. It's coming at me from left and right. I've got 6 or 7 articles just sitting on my bed in the newspaper about this stuff. I mean, it's just constant new pictures, colored pictures, you know, people talking on the radio. We're talking a whole week of this stuff I'm dealing with the illegal immigration and the dumping and the teenagers and the this and the that. And I mean, it's craziness. And now the scabies and the tuberculosis and possibly the Ebola virus. This is what I deal with in California. So, and you know that, Bill. You've been fighting the illegal stuff for how long now?
Since 2005.
Absolutely.
I belong to a group that put out a flyer that made over 10,000 illegals in 3 counties flee.
Wow.
Just from a flyer. And
awesome.
Our electing threw a fit because, guess what? They saw their money going out the window because they had been invested in these businesses that were employing them. And they were invested in the housing that was housing them, you know. So they threw a big fit about what we did. But it was Don Gamble that designed the flyer that we put out, and it had an effect, and it put us in a spotlight.
Awesome.
We started getting invited to come and speak at gatherings in Indianapolis and other places.
Yep.
You know, it escalated for us because we took a stand. Because
yes.
We put ourselves out there in the front line and said, we're not moving.
Well, you know what, Bill? There's been a huge surge from all the way from Murrieta and Orange County with Lee Q, which I've talked to you about her before. You've probably seen all the stuff I send to you from her, especially
yes.
in the Murrieta fight and the Jeff Schwilk, who's been fighting this stuff. He's an ex-Marine. He's been fighting against illegal immigration probably as long as you have. And, I mean, this is huge. This is, I mean, people are going to the town halls in droves. People are going out with signs in droves, even those who have jobs, some of them. They're taking their lunch hours. They're doing everything they can. They're going on the radio shows. They're getting it done, Bill. They've had it. At least it's getting national attention now. So, or statewide, anyway.
You've got charlatans out here trying to act like this or that. I got to tell you something. You can look up Alipac Boycott Huckabee. And about 20 names down on that list, you'll see my name and the name of my organization I
cool.
was ahead of at that time. Because Huckabee was pushing for amnesty for illegals.
Yeah, oh, I know. Well, yeah, Cal says the community sees the dollars. Well, that's what happens. I talked about that with the Common Core. They're dangling millions and billions of dollars throughout these different organizations and programs and the stimulus bill for the Common Core, Cal, and the states they're blindly tapping into this, and they're just this is what they do. They dangle these carrots, and it's just disgusting. They've been doing it for decades. They've done it with the EPA. They've done it with every entity you want to name, and it's horrible. And they're probably doing it with it. Yeah.
And then they'll take our taxpayer dollars and give it to groups like La Raza, who actually wants to turn this country into Mexico.
Yeah, as it
La Raza, who claims this was the Hispanics own this country, but they didn't.
It
was the Native Americans. The Hispanics came through the Spanish line that came
right.
and invaded here. You know, they're not what they say.
Right.
it's pretty bad when your country's history is that you're the most, if there's a country on the earth that'll steal from you, it's Mexico.
Well, here's the other thing. The ones in D.C. will also take your taxpayer money at the point of a gun and give it to places like Planned Parenthood, and they'll give it to, I think it was Acorn, remember the old Acorn? Yeah, and they'll give it to, naturally, we already know this, the EPA, which should be defunded and abolished, and they give it to the UN, too, and they're, I mean, the whole thing, and it's all to undermine our freedom. It's sick. It's absolutely
you
twisted.
You brought up the EPA. The EPA is another organization that has emails that came up missing.
Oh, that's surprising.
Well,
pretty nuts.
You need to look into that. There's another whole story there that's not being put out there. But the EPA is under investigation at the same time the emails came up missing. About 2 years' worth.
Well, look, Bill, I mean, I got 4 minutes left. I want to thank everybody. I'm going to play a little music. Yourself, Cal, Doc, FT, and all the ones who were tuning in before. Thank you so much. We're not giving up. We're gonna have fun in Delaney. This, like I said, if you want me to speak for 20 minutes, I could probably do it easy with the Agenda 21 deal. That's going to be fun because I have visual aids. I've got all kinds of stuff. I've got a file folder that, you've seen before. But I can help educate people because there are things that I can actually even hand out. So we will get them going on that. And then if I have to teach them on Common Core, let me tell you, we've got to do it. And it's exciting. So, again, Doc, Cal, FT, Bill, and everybody in the room there, be blessed. It's wonderful. I'm going to play the old NSA song, Somebody's Watching Me. Take care, Cal and Bill.
Everyone enjoy this Independence Day. Maybe our last.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be better when we rise from the ashes, baby. All right, let me go. And see you guys for Terry's show tomorrow. Love it. If I can get this to work. Here we go.
Watching me.
Great night, folks. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.